Hello, you're listening to a preview of a premium episode of Blocked and Reported. This is a strange one. We talk a little bit about drama at the Times. Yes, still, just a little. And then we talk about a gangbang. And then we talk about Aaron Bushnell, the young man who lit himself on fire and how journalists should cover stuff like that. You're going to get a sample of this stuff, but if you want to hear the whole thing, you'll have to become a premium subscriber at blockedreported.org. For just $5 a month and up, you get 3 extra episodes just like this one every month, as well as access to an amazing community. Best deal in media, blockedreported.org. Hope you enjoy the preview either way. Okay, yeah, before we get into this episode, we should say this is not one you should listen to with your kids in the room. That out of the way. Time for a gangbang.
I might sit this one out, Jesse. I don't know if I really want to be in the same room with you during your birthday gangbang.
So this is a post. I mean, she tweeted about it too, but it's a post on the Substack of former Bar Pod guest and genuine friend of the pod, Ayla.
Genuine freak. And I say that with love.
Genuine freak of the pod. people have to read the full post. I'm worried too many people are just going to get the Twitter version. The post is amazing. So it's titled My Birthday Gangbang, A Slutistical Breakdown. And it begins. I'm going to get to this. She's an amazing troll without, I think, knowing she's a troll. Here's the first. Katie, just read the first part. Do not reveal the source of the quote till the end.
So this what's it called? An epigram? Epigraph? That's the...
Yeah, in italics.
Quote, I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Nelson Mandela. Jesse, is Ayla not our Nelson Mandela when you really think about it?
We could just stop the episode there. Yeah. My birthday gangbang, a statistical breakdown, Nelson Mandela quote. That is like the basic format for 2024 content.
Oh, it's so good. This was the first thing I saw when I woke up this morning, and I've been in a good mood ever since, which generally reading about gangbangs would not be my preferred way to start the morning. But when Ayla does it, for some reason, it happens to be hilarious. But it's like, it's hard to tell what's intentional and what's not. And so this post is, she analyzes everything in the most autistic, slutistical way. Just, you explain it.
Well, I was gonna relegate this point to the end, but with the autism is too important to leave to the end. I think Ayla's view is she might be autistic. She's not sure. She has some of those.
I'm sure.
I was at the gangbang. I'm sure. No.
They gave everyone an autism test before the gangbang, and they all passed.
She's a perfectly nice person. You can absolutely have a conversation with her. She is a little bit detached and weird, and she writes and talks about things in this way where she doesn't really care. Doesn't seem to care that much that people might think she's weird. She writes about how much she poops and about how little she showers.
That was my one question, and the post is paywalled at the end, so I don't know if she actually answers this. But so every year she posts a breakdown. She analyzes everything that she does in a day, a month, a week, a year. So yes, it'll be like 37. I shit 37 times in June. I showered 7 times in June because she really does not shower very often. So I am desperate to know.
Wait, you said 37 times in June. That would be a lot.
No, she shits 37 times in June.
How many times does she shower?
7.
Oh, just 7. Yeah, that's not enough. Especially if you're shitting that much. Yeah.
Right. No, especially if you're fucking that much.
Yeah.
As she does. And so I'm desperate to know if she used one of her monthly showers either before or after the gangbang.
Yeah.
And you know what? No telling.
The top of this is just too good. I need to read it. From the outside, it might seem like I'm fearless in my sexual adventures, like I'm a confident slut running wildly from penis to penis. This isn't true at all. All the risks in my life, all the sexual choices I've made that have revoked society's blessing on me, I've done despite experiencing sheer terror. I'm not immune to the heavy-handed social narratives that I must be damaging myself somehow, that no man will ever want me, that sluts are deeply bad. Those narratives make me seize with fear. It's just I figure the fear must be unfounded. When I examine myself, I can't find any actually bad thing. There's no inherent badness to a penis entering my vagina. So I force my feet to move forward into the den of 42 men all jacking off in identical bathrooms while I'm screaming internally. So yes, there was identical bathrooms. This gangbang had a uniform. Katie, can you describe it?
So it's a bathrobe, and it on the back it says, "I went to the Ayla birthday gangbang, and all I got was this bathrobe and also to fuck a porn star." Can you imagine finding that in your new boyfriend's closet?
This post contains a lot of factual gangbang details. Ayla is nothing if not data-driven.
Yes.
For example, they started their search for gangbang participants with some sort of brief online survey, and it led to 83 brief screening interviews. Katie, can you imagine us interviewing 83 people for anything?
Even for a job, we would say no, we would not do that. No.
That's why we just rely on things like race and religion to determine who we hire. It's way easier.
Furry
there
status.
Were some of the stuff you'd expect. Like they did, you know, STD testing and all that. They also took common sense precautions. Quote, everybody used condoms. Everybody was required to switch out condoms between women and to discard any condoms that they accidentally tried to put on backwards first.
And the women, the reason there were multiple women there and besides just Ayla is because she had fluffers. This was a very well-planned
gangbang. Again, it's hard to tell the story in order because there's so much I want to get to, but there was a group of women there for free who were just fluffers. They didn't like, there were consent rules, so the women weren't just like free game to any man who wanted to do stuff to them. But as Ayla waited to have the train run on her, the fluffers were just there to help keep the men hard. Okay, Katie, I'm going to force you to read this next paragraph just because it will make you feel icky.
The event itself was pretty simple. We had the doors open in the evening for a half hour. You couldn't get in before or afterwards. We checked IDs and sent them to the coat check, where they stripped all their clothes and possessions, put them in a bag marked with a numbered label.
So far it's like, is this Auschwitz or a gang? Sorry.
Close. We gave them name tags on which they wrote their name and bag number, and also to differentiate the identical Ayla's B-Day branded bathrobes from each other. We then held an opening circle where we went over the rules, behavioral norms, and expectations. One of the organizers made everyone solemnly swear to do their best to come in only the birthday girl, as opposed to any of the fluffers. Thank you for that, Jesse.
Thank you for that, Katie. As you would expect of an Ayla post, there are a lot of statistics. The total cost of the orgy was $3,335, which honestly seems like a bargain, given the number of the logistics, the lube alone. The only people who got paid were the security guards. It could be there's an underground economy of orgy security guards. That would be less funny.
Well, it's the Bay, so probably.
There probably is. It'd be more funny if this was a security guard who was like usually dispatched to stand outside a Chick-fil-A in the Tenderloin.
A Walgreens.
But then someone's like, I've got a sort of weird assignment for you. Are you familiar with Ayla? The irony is this would be such a better and like safer gig than guarding any store in certain neighborhoods of San Francisco.
A bunch of dorks who get interviewed to take place in a gangbang, including one virgin. Kudos to him.
We're going to get to that. So there was no entry fee. This was another statistic, but there was an optional donation. 19% of participants didn't donate anything. Can you imagine showing up for a gangbang empty-handed? The etiquette breach that is?
I mean, seriously, what would Ann Landers have to say about this?
Here's this one part that I found just as interesting as Ayla did. Quote, we had way more fluffer interest than anticipated. By the end, we were turning away women trying to get in, which I think more women than you might think actually do want to participate in gangbang sluttery. They might just not admit it publicly or feel safe enough at most events to inhabit their full sexual expression. I totally thought this would be a sausage fest. Like, as Ayla puts it in the post, of course men from the internet would show up en masse to stick dicks in me. They would for basically any woman. But it was weird to me that like so many women wanted to be fluffers. And I suspect it's just like a selection bias, like the sorts of people who Ayla knows.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of people in the world. There's a lot of people in the Bay Area. A lot of them, yes, who follow Ayla are probably more likely to be interested in this sort of thing. That said, I think you could fairly assume that there would be more interest in this from men than from women. And I'm curious about how it would go if this were the opposite. Like, one dude wants to get nailed by 42 women.
Let's do it. My birthday is... Can you imagine if I was like, guys, I've got a great opportunity for you. I should say I sweat and I pant a lot. You might want to wear like a tarp. I might start crying.
The next Barbod Christmas party is going to be very weird.
Can you imagine? My other explanation for this is she linked to the profiles of some of the fluffers and some of them were sex workers. So I do think this would put them in touch with like rich Bay Area clientele. Okay. I'm going to skip over some of the sexier details because this has always been a goddamn family podcast.
Which by that you mean your dad listens to it.
Exactly. I found this part weirdly inspiring, and I found the whole post surprisingly wholesome given the subject matter. This was about a guy who showed up as a virgin. He lost his virginity at the Ayla gangbang. Quote, "We asked if we could celebrate his first time, and he said yes. The wackier the better, I believe. So we had him go first and pop confetti over him when he finished, and I signed a personalized gift for him. He was also wearing a heart rate monitor and said I could include the data from it here. I'll update this post once he sends it over. Once a man had sex with me, he drew a tally mark on my leg with a Sharpie and then signed the guest book, which was a pretty white wedding guest book I got because it was hilarious. It turns out lube ruined Sharpies, so despite us starting out with a surplus of Sharpies, by the end of the night, we were scrounging. There's even some useful service journalism in here.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine losing your virginity as part of some sort of ritual where everyone blasts confetti over you after? Would you ever be able to have sex again?
Yeah, if he ever does have sex again, this will be a story that he tells his children.
Did you have any other questions or concerns or observations about the Ayla birthday gangbang?
I'm just so curious to find out what Ayla's parents think about this. I mean, I can guess because they're very Christian and they homeschooled her until she was like 17 years old, which maybe explains a lot. Every time I see, you know, you'll see like libs of TikTok or other trads, they'll post some clip from some teacher with like pride flags in the classroom and the commentary will be homeschool your kids. Every time I see that, I think of Ayla.
That's a counterexample to homeschooling your kids. That could go different ways.
This is what happens. Anyway, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Ayla. Honestly, like I think there's some, like I wouldn't go to an event like this, nor would I be invited, but I think there's something to be said for like you only get one life. Have you ever heard that before? You only get one life. I think I just came up with it. YOLO.
That's not what you, that yeah. would be yogo. Wait, you only get one you life.
Yogal.
Yeah.
Yogal.
Yeah. Get that tattooed on your back.
People should read this post. It's quite a thing.
She was very smart to paywall it right at the part where she's about to start talking about penises. That's going to get people to sign up.
Oh, the other thing that's super important is the data journalism in there. So there's this amazing graph. She literally does it the way you do like a study selection meta-analysis graphic, if anyone's seen one of those. So it includes like 42 people showed up, 5 didn't bang Ayla, 37 penetrated Ayla. Of those 37, 17 came in Ayla, 5 came in a fluffer, 15 didn't come. She said performance anxiety among the men was actually a pretty big problem, which makes sense to me.
So, yeah, seriously, come on. Not only is Ayla there, the famous Ayla, you have 41 other men watching you.
And so, like, whoever's next in line is like, dude, come on, hurry up.
God, imagine being the last person in line.
Oh, God. Ugh. You, like, you do not want to arrive.
Oh,
get stuck in traffic on your way to a game bank.
There was one part that I found like bizarre and like a little bit upsetting almost. Let me read you this. The way it worked was a few men volunteers held me down on a bed and a line of guys approached.
This was exactly what I skipped over because we're a family podcast. Continue. Yeah.
Once a guy got sufficient.
That's it. That's all you get if you want to hear us talk in depth about the Aaron Bushnell suicide and journalistic responsibility in terms of how to cover it. BlocktonReporter.org. Become a primo. Thank you for listening to this.